We're continuing to study in the book of Romans. And we're in chapter 5. And I want to read Romans 5, 14 through 16. Where it says in verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." I want to center our thoughts on the phrase, "death reigned." There's a definite article "the" before death, so it's talking about a specific death. And this death reigned from Adam to Moses. And so this is a unique death in a sense. Because when we think about physical death, obviously people are dying since Moses' day. Because I have not met Aaron. Well, of course Aaron, I know he died, but there are many of the Old Testament saints that would still be living if this is talking about physical death. They didn't die. But anyway, we're talking about a specific death, and it was that it reigned, or that it ruled, from Adam to Moses. Now there was a time when I looked at this verse, at this death that reigned, by noticing what was present and what was absent. First of all, there was no law from Adam to Moses. The law was not given until Moses got it on the Mount Sinai. So there was no law. Now there were certain commandments that were given as needed. There was a commandment given to Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was another commandment given to Noah 1,500 years later, of capital punishment. That if a man killed another man, that man's life would be taken. And the reason for that is this: we're all made in the image of God. And when you kill another man, you're trying to kill God. You're trying to get to God. And God does not take that lightly. And so therefore, if we kill another man, as it was from the days of Noah on, capital punishment needs to be needs to take place. That's one of the reasons why Cain wasn't executed when he killed Abel. There was no law in place to do that. So Cain went free, basically speaking. He had to face some consequences. But the point is this: he did not lose his physical life. So there was no law given between Adam and Moses. So there was a law, or the law of Moses, missing. Second thing that was missing is that there was no sprinkling of blood mentioned in the whole book of Genesis. Only the animal sacrifice. And it's not until you get into Genesis or Exodus chapter 12 do we have reference to the blood and the sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb, and it was the Passover lamb that was slain. All in the house were to partake of the Passover lamb. In other words, it was to be roasted with fire. It was to be eaten by all in the house. And then if there was any left, it was to be destroyed. But the blood was mentioned, and the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. And it's significant where it was sprinkled. it wasn't sprinkled on the roof. That to me would be a more logical place to sprinkle it on the roof. That way I'd make sure that the death angel, when he passed through, wouldn't miss it. But it was sprinkled on the doorpost. And you know where what the doorpost means? It's where we walk. The blood is to be applied when we walk in and out of the house. And so if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now all of this applies to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who have responded to what God has offered through the death of His Son on the cross. Like the Philippian jailer, when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas were very quick to answer that question. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So we're not talking about lost, we're talking about saved people, and we're talking about Adam was saved and Moses was saved, and this has to do with a death that reigned from Adam to Moses. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." When God created Adam and Eve, He gave them dominion. He made them the ruler over the earth. They were in charge. When Adam named all the animals, he was in charge. He could say, "Single file, please." And the animals came by in single file. Or he could say two by two. However he wanted, he was in charge of the animals. Even the animals that swam, he named them as well. So Adam and Eve had dominion. Then in Genesis 1:28, it said, "God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now I put this verse in here so that you would see that He was to subdue it in having dominion over it. Adam and Eve were in charge. Let me say this, before Adam and Eve were in charge, you know who was in charge? Satan. Satan was the god of this earth. He's the god of this age. Satan and his angels ruled over the earth. And Satan sinned. And those that were under him sinned, following Satan. But Satan was given this earth to rule over. And because Satan disqualified himself to rule and reign over the earth, God put Adam and Eve on the earth to take his place. And Satan was able to deceive Eve and to get her to eat of the forbidden fruit, and she gave it to her husband, as we will see here just in the next verse. And they lost that dominion. They could no longer subdue the earth. They no longer could command the fish or the animals. In fact, in Genesis 2:17, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The Hebrew says, "Dying thou shalt surely die." If you look in the Septuagint, you'll find that it's the word thanatos, thou shalt die. Now, the word thanatos is Greek, and it's the translation of the Hebrew into Greek. That's the Septuagint. That's the LXX that you see in your notes. And thanatos is the word that we were looking at Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Thanatos reigned from Adam to Moses. And Adam's transgression was to eat of that fruit as well in Genesis 3:6. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so therefore, he ate of that tree and he died the death. He lost dominion. Genesis 3:23 shows you how much he lost. And therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. He drove him out. And instead of collecting fruit and food off the trees, he had to work the ground to get it. It was no longer a cafeteria like it was in the garden. All he had to do was just walk through. You know, I'll have a pineapple and I'll have an apple, I'll have grapes. No longer that anymore. It's out plowing, and in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread. Now, what did Adam lose? He lost dominion. And and let me just say this. The death and dominion should be equated. Dominion of mankind reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, how did it reign from Adam to Moses? That is the loss of dominion. Well, that's what I want to share with you this morning. That is the thing that I discovered in waiting upon the Lord on this message. What reigned is the loss of dominion from Adam to Moses. Now, some people might say that Noah had dominion when he collected all the animals. Remember that? Noah built the ark, and the animals were to get into the ark. And if you look at the ads on TV, you see Noah dragging animals in. You know what I mean? Well, Noah didn't do that. Let me just read here, Genesis 7:7-9. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of every living, or everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two unto Noah into the ark. The male and female, as God commanded Noah. In other words, Noah and his family were in the ark, and you know what was happening? God was herding animals into the ark two by two. Noah did not have dominion over those animals. I just put that in there so that anyone was wondering about, hey, oh, Noah had dominion. Because we're talking about dominion being lost from Adam to Moses. Mankind had no dominion over anything on the earth. He had no control over the animal kingdom. He had no control over the vegetable kingdom. He had no control. But that changed with Moses. Okay, let's go on. One thing I do want to put in here, that after all the animals got in the ark and were released, in Genesis 9:2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon the fishes of the sea, into your hands are they delivered. Okay? But they are afraid of you. I think it's really neat how God works things. He didn't make the animals afraid of man until after the flood. Why? He had a plan. The plan was he needed those animals to get on the ark. And if Noah and his family were camping out in the ark, you know where the animals would be? They would be somewhere else. So God made sure that they weren't afraid of human beings. And so they went in willingly on their own to be with Adam or with Noah and his family. But after the flood, it's a different story. And I got a little betta fish, little Chinese fighting fish for my birthday. Gene thought I'd enjoy having that. And you know, that little fish is afraid of me. I just put my finger up to the fish bowl, and that little fish, it backs up. So, you know, I proved it this morning. Yep, they're still afraid of me. Okay. Now, dominion was lost from Adam to Moses. In Acts chapter 7, verse 35 through 37, dominion was given to Moses. That's the difference. Let's see how it was given to Moses, okay? This Moses whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear." Moses had the ability to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And in signs, wonders, and miracles, did Moses have charge over the frogs? He sure did. Did Moses have charge over the lice? Yes, he did. Did Moses have charge over the locusts? Yes, he did. Moses had dominion over the earth. I would say within limits, you know what I mean. But he did have dominion. And he could cause things to take place that did not take place from Adam till Moses. Nobody was performing any signs, wonders, and miracles from Adam to Moses. All they were doing is living day in and day out and offering sacrifices and walking with the Lord, and that's all they did. For 2,500 years. That's the time from Adam, approximately 2,500 years from Adam to Moses. Now, just to assure you that we are what we're talking about, I'm going to read Psalms 105, verses 26 through 35. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled against his word. He turned the water into blood and slew their fish. I tell you, that's dominion. You know, I don't have the ability to turn water into blood. Moses could. He could do that. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of the kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice and in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. In other words, he controlled the weather. He sent rain and he sent lightning bolts, set their land on fire. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake and the locust came and the caterpillar and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in the land and devoured the fruit of their ground. Moses had dominion. Now, in the Old Testament, we've already read it, but it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." That's in Deuteronomy 18:15. "From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken." You know who he's talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ have dominion? He sure did. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hand." Jesus Christ was ruler over the works of the Father's hand. He had dominion. And he proved that. In fact, Peter talks about it in Acts 2:22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." He had dominion. Moses worked miracles, and he worked miracles and signs and wonders too. Jesus did too. He had dominion. Now, an example of the dominion of the Lord is in John 21:6. "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish." The apostles, you know what they did? They'd been out fishing all night and they hadn't caught a thing. You know why? Because I think the Lord sent the fish over on the east side of the river, or east side of the lake, make sure that he wouldn't catch a thing. And he says, "Now you cast it over on this side of the ship," and the Lord herded those fish right in there. So many that they couldn't be taken. It almost broke the nets. Another one too, in Genesis, or in Luke 19:35, "And they brought him to Jesus." And that word "him" had to do with an unbroken colt, a foal of a colt. Unbroken. "On which a man had never sat." You find that in verse 30. In other words, there was no man ever sat on this horse. And I don't know whether you've ever seen anyone jump on a horse without a saddle on it and holding them down to get on it. Well, I have. I've seen that. I've seen them breaking horses down on my grandmother's farm. I know what it is. And I tell you, the horse doesn't take too kind to that. He don't like that. But here, they brought a colt, and they cast their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Do you think he had dominion over that colt? Absolutely, he had dominion. And then, in Matthew 8:27, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" I just want you to see how powerful dominion could have been for us if Adam hadn't fallen. We could do that. Adam had that power while he was in the garden. When he had dominion, he could herd fish. He could ride wild animals. He could, of course, there wasn't very many storms in his day because of the canopy around the earth. But the point is this, if he needed to quiet the storm, Adam could have done it. The Lord did it. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give." He not only had the power to do all of these things for the physical problems of mankind, he gave the authority to his disciples. He had dominion over sickness. We don't have that dominion today. I've never went to a funeral that was interrupted. And the fellow that was in the box left with the rest of the crowd. You know what I mean? Man doesn't have dominion to do that. Now, So, he raised the dead and he cast out demons. Jesus had the authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, what I wanted to do is basically is to just give you some information. This is for your information, FYI. I want you to just know what it meant that sin, the sin, or the loss of dominion, reigned from Adam to Moses. It's significant. But I think that we need, whenever I'm giving a lesson, I want to have an application. In other words, it's fun to know neat things, you know? One thing I want to say before we go on is this. Now, Jesus did not have authority over angels. Did you know that? Jesus, here on the earth, did not have authority over the angels. In fact, we just got through reading that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels and crownest him with glory and honor. The point is this. Jesus could not command angels to come and help him. Did you know that? He couldn't do that. You know what Jesus said? He says, I could ask the Father and he would send me a legion of angels. But he had to ask the one who had dominion. He had to ask the Father who was in charge of the angels. Because he had been placed lower than the angels, he didn't have authority over the angels. Now when he was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't order that angel. That angel appeared and ministered to him. When he was in the garden, he didn't command an angel to come and help him. An angel appeared and ministered to Jesus when he was struggling in the garden. So just to show you how dominion works and the chain of command works and so forth. And it wasn't until Moses that dominion, a certain level of dominion, was given. And you find miracles through for the rest of the Old Testament. I think about Elijah. Did he have dominion over steel? He can make steel float. Or whatever that hammer was made out of. Remember that? He made a hammer float. And he would heal a pot of sick stew. You know, he could, you know, that they were cutting up gourds in that soup or that stew that were making them sick. And he took care of that. So, now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, it says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus Christ is now in the heavens. And all power, and this word power can also be translated authority and jurisdiction. He didn't have it all when he was here. He does now. You know, that's a plus for you and I. If he's got the power and authority, you know what? He can provide anything we need. If we're out walking on the street or we're out on the sea, you know what? He can calm the sea. He can quiet the waves. I can remember we were flying from Port Leoti, Morocco, coming home to the States when I was in the Navy back in the 50s. And we would always stop in the Azores. The Azores is a little chain of islands out in the middle of the Atlantic. And they're Portuguese. And the United States has an Air Force base there, and so the U.S. Navy flies airplanes into that Air Force base. And the Air Force base is in the caldera of a volcano. In other words, what we're doing is we're landing in a volcano, the bottom of the volcano. That's where the runways are. And I can remember when we were coming home and we were landing, and I was listening to the on the earphones the fellow on ground control guiding us into the to land, And all of a sudden, our plane lost lift. And we started falling, dropping to the earth. You know what I mean? We started coming down, and it didn't feel like the pilot had any control. And you know what? I asked God to provide us with some lift. Didn't put it quite that way, and it wasn't that slow. And you know what? Just before we touched, the plane caught, and then we just touched right down, slipped right in. The Lord is in charge of those kind of things when it is needed. When it is needed. And so the Lord has the authority and the jurisdiction to provide for us. And one thing that I want to and I want to share this with you too, is in 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26, it says, He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? The death. It was designed for man to rule and reign over this earth. When Adam sinned the death, he lost dominion. And you know what? That death is our enemy. I want to stand in the presence of the Lord and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to rule over 10 cities or over 5 cities. I want to sit with the Lord in His throne, being an overcomer. And you know what? The death is my enemy, because if I experience the death that He is talking about, or we've been studying about this morning, you know what? I will not rule and reign with Christ in His kingdom. I will not have dominion during the 1,000-year reign with the Lord. I will be a subject. I will be subdued. But you know what? Physical death is not our enemy. We think about death being the enemy, it's not physical death. Because of 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, that's physical death. And this word "and" is chi, and it can be emphatic. It can be translated indeed, in fact, certainly, to be present with the Lord. I'm just thinking about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, I believe, told the thief that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I think I shared with you already that when Jesus died on the cross, when He said it is finished, His spirit went into the hands of the Father, His body went into the tomb, and His soul, I believe, went into paradise. And you know what? Jesus gave up the ghost and He went there. He got there ahead of whom? The thief on the cross. Because they had to break His legs to get Him to die. And so when He left for paradise, Jesus was already there. And so I'm not afraid of dying, because that's not my enemy. My enemy is to lose dominion in His coming kingdom. And I think that God is showing you, or showing us, that Adam lost dominion, and it didn't come back until Moses. And what dominion means? It means that you're in charge over lots of good things, lots of fun things. You know what I mean? It would be fun to bring the frogs out. I just wondered if Moses was laughing when he saw him jumping. Well, frogs are funny, you know. Anyway, I hope you appreciate a little bit better what that verse is talking about. I know I enjoyed thinking about it and studying it. Father, I just thank You so much for Your blessings upon us. We thank You, Father, for the truths that we can study in Your Word and understand, and appreciate the fact that one day that we can enjoy having dominion over the earth, ruling and reigning with You in Your coming kingdom. We know, Lord, that You shared that authority with Your apostles and Your disciples that You sent out. And we know, Lord, that one day You will share that with us. Having been approved, faithful, profitable servants, we will one day enter into the joy of the Lord. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.